You're listening to Animal Tracks, brought to you by the American Veterinary Medical Association. I'm Michael Sanfilippo. We love our pets, but sometimes when it comes to rewarding our pets with treats and food, we might love them a little too much. As a result, our pets are increasingly overweight and obese. To help quantify and track rates of obesity in pets, the Association for Pet Obesity Prevention has conducted annual surveys on obesity in U.S. pets. Recently, the group released its sixth annual survey, and I'm joined now by Dr. Ernie Ward, founder of the Association for Pet Obesity Prevention, to discuss this year's results. Dr. Ward, welcome back to Animal Tracks. Briefly, can you tell us what this year's survey tells us about pet obesity, and how does that compare to last year?
This year, we were able to complete our sixth annual National Pet Obesity Awareness Day survey. We did this in over 121 clinics in 36 states in the United States and over 2,000 pet patients. And we found that about 52.5% of all dogs and 58.3% of all cats were classified as overweight or obese by their veterinarian. This equals about 80 million dogs and cats that are too heavy and at risk for serious medical conditions.
Were you surprised with anything you saw in this year's results, or was it consistent with what you expected?
The biggest surprise that we continue to see in the area of overweight pets is that the number of obese cats continues to outpace everything else. That is, of the fraction of overweight and obese cats that we see in the United States, there are disproportionate or more cats that are classified as obese. And this should be alarming to both veterinarians and cat owners, because when cats are obese, they're at greater risk for developing conditions such as type 2 diabetes. So the fact is, our cats are not only getting fatter, but they're getting much fatter.
Now, the numbers of obese and overweight pets are very high, which of course isn't good, but were there any positive takeaways in this year's survey?
The good news, I think, from this year's survey was that certain pure breed dogs have very, very low amounts of overweight. And one of those breeds that popped in this year's survey were German Shepherd dogs, which had the lowest percentage of all excess weight of any of the breeds. In fact, when we looked at it, they had an obesity rate of only 2.1%. Now, sadly, Labrador Retrievers and Golden Retrievers were two of the highest pure breeds that we saw. In fact, about 59% of labs were classified as overweight or obese. And that should be alarming for our veterinary friends, because that's a breed that I see commonly, and we've got to make sure we're paying special attention and talking about excess weight when we see those labs and goldens.
You've talked in the past about what you call a fat pet gap. Can you explain what that is?
I think one of the things that always frustrates me as a veterinarian is the fact that there is this fat gap that exists among pet owners. And the reality is, most pet owners that have an overweight or obese dog or cat actually don't realize that. They look at it and they think, oh, maybe he's just a little chubby, when in reality it's obese. So for me as a veterinarian, this is a call to action. If you are seeing an overweight or obese cat or dog, you must inform the client of its weight status, because they probably aren't aware of it. So if we are quiet on this issue, we simply are condoning an unhealthy lifestyle.
So how then do you educate people on what is an appropriate weight for their pets?
Because pet owners don't realize that their dog or cat is overweight, one of the most important tools that you need to use during every exam is a body condition score chart. I typically ask the client to tell me where they think their pet lies on this chart. And you'll find that many of them will say it's normal or maybe just slightly overweight, when in fact the pet's obese. I think that when you start that conversation and explain to them, no, it's not actually normal overweight, and here's why, you know, get them to feel the ribs, understand what an abdominal tuck really looks like, then we can begin to change. But unless clients have an awareness of the problem, they're going to continue to ignore it and practice poor feeding and exercise behaviors.
How is obesity measured in pets?
When we look at classifying overweight and obese pets, we really don't have the good tools that they have in humans. For example, the body mass index, or BMI, is a pretty good assumption of if that person is too heavy or just the right amount. We rely instead on the body condition score scale, which is subjective at best. And for that, you know, I tell veterinarians, pick your number, if it's 1 to 5 or 1 to 9, and stick with it and really learn how to use it with your staff. Until we get better tools, in fact, really some of the things I'm looking for are exciting technologies like impedance monitors that can actually, you know, measure the amount of body fat. There's going to be a new scale that's just been released that is going to help us estimate fat. Until we get those tests, we're going to be reliant on just subjective interpretation. One other thing from the world of research, there are some very interesting blood biomarkers. These are blood tests that could be used to accurately estimate body fat percentages. So I think the future is bright, but for today, let's get out those BCS scales and start talking about weight.
We have numbers now that you've helped put together through the survey, but can you explain why these extra pounds are so dangerous to our pets?
The reason that I'm so passionate about pet obesity is because this directly correlates to quality of life for my patients. We know that a pet that's even 1 or 2 pounds overweight is at greater risk for diseases like type 2 diabetes, painful, crippling osteoarthritis, high blood pressure, respiratory problems, cancers, even kidney disease. So it's imperative that we as veterinarians and pet owners take this issue very seriously, because in the end, it not only causes ridiculous amounts of suffering, but it's costing tens and tens of millions of unnecessary medical bills.
What advice do you have for people that are trying to help their pets lose weight?
When I'm counseling pet owners on how to best lose weight for their pet, what I tell them is, first of all, let's start at the food bowl. The most important decision they make each day about their pet's health is what they choose to feed it. So I want them to measure the food, talk to their veterinarian about how many calories they should be feeding, and then stick to a plan. That's the most important thing. The second thing is get out there and exercise. Walk with your dog 15 to 30 minutes a day at a brisk pace. Play with your cat 3 to 5 minutes a day with a laser pointer or a ball of paper. I don't care what you do, but get moving, because we know that diet and exercise are the keys to longevity and preventing disease.
And finally, if people want to learn more about the survey and this year's survey results, where can they go to find that information?
Yeah, for pet owners and veterinarians that would like more information on the survey and ways to and tips for losing weight, visit petobesityprevention.org. Petobesityprevention.org.
Great. Well, Dr. Ward, thanks so much for speaking with us today.
Thanks for having me today, and get out there and let's talk about weight.
For more information on pet obesity, including weight loss tips, visit the Association for Pet Obesity Prevention website at petobesityprevention.org. And for more tips on how to keep your pets happy, healthy, and safe, visit the AVMA's website at avma.org. For AVMA Animal Tracks, I'm Michael Sanfilippo. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.